This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Can't afford a dog. I can't afford a cat. I can't afford insurance, and I can't afford the lack. I got a month of rent that I can't afford to pay. Every single cent I make goes straight to Sally Mae. But I've got what I need, and I've got you. I've got you. I can't afford to marry. I can't afford the ring. I can't afford the church with the air conditioning. I can't afford the suit, and I can't afford the shoes. And I'm only singing country 'cause I can't afford the blues. I've got what I need, and I've got you. I've got you. Yes, sir. I called my temp agency. Temp agency said, all remaining jobs have been outsourced to India. I walked to my library. My library's closed down. I can't afford a blessed thing in this whole blessed town. So I say, blessed are the poor, those who go without. Blessed are the destitute and the fiscally in doubt. I got sufficient joy right here. Feed the world at large. Hope is on the house, baby. Love's still free of charge. Tonight I've got what I need, yeah. And I've got you. I've got.
Called Blessed Are the Poor from Jake Armitage's sixth album, Cosmos in the Chaos. Welcome to the Folk Show, Jake Armitage.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Wow, that has a really great sound to it. Now, tell us a little bit about album number six, Cosmos in the Chaos.
This, I haven't really put out a full-length proper album for some time because I wanted to try a little bit of experiment, which I conducted during 2012, and actually it went well enough that I decided to keep it going sort of through this year and on into the future, which is called Community Supported Art, and that let me sort of build the album a track at a time, a song at a time, month to month. It's if anyone's familiar with a normal CSA, a farm CSA, which is, of course, Community Supported Agriculture, it's that farm to table mentality where the middleman, whether it's a trucking company or a supermarket or whoever it might be, is circumvented for the purpose of earning the farm a little bit more money and hopefully helping it stay in business. You're basically buying food right off the farm. And so I had signed up for one of these back in, a few years back. And it struck me like what a great idea it would be if I kind of reappropriated it for what I was doing. You know, what about like a studio to table kind of mentality? I wonder if anyone would buy into that. I wonder if it worked to sort of go around to cut out the middleman. Because in all honesty, it seems like the middleman is sort of being cut out anyway, thanks to, you know, things like YouTube. Anyone can upload their own music video, for example. And anyone can almost anyone can get their music on iTunes. It's really not that difficult. And so, you know, access is no longer an issue. The record label seems to be on its way out or already out, I guess. And so I thought to myself, why not embrace that and turn it into something where people feel like they're supporting something very independent, which this is. It's entirely independent. You know, it's artists are sort of setting up shop themselves by necessity. And so it was a way to sort of put a face on that or put a pasture on it or something like that and get people who would be excited to buy food directly from a farm, you know, maybe get them excited about the idea of taking the same approach with the music that they consume or the artwork, that kind of a thing. So it really went pretty well. I felt incredibly blessed that anyone would sign up for it, you know, other than my mom. But I got quite a few folks to sign up and built a CD with most of those songs. And that's what this new CD, Cosmos and the Chaos, is.
So. And this is a collection of all originals, Jake?
It's all originals, yep.
This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest in the studio is Jake Armerding. How about playing another tune for us, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about your journey.
Sure, sounds great.
Said Catchy Paul to Dreamy John, "Hey mate, your band looks bloody fun. Come on and join, we'll have a ball," said Dreamy John to Catchy Paul. Said Dreamy John to Catchy Paul, "Your Michelle is unenthroned. Tell her you love her, we say bon," said Catchy Paul to Dreamy John. "Well, listen, I'll be black and you be white. I'll go left and you stay right. And all the songs we'll sing as one, Catchy Paul and Dreamy John. Heaven knows where this long and winding road will come to end. So it goes, sometimes it's just the best to be the best of friends." "Extra, extra, name your price. It's Dreamy John versus Jesus Christ. And little ones to him belonged, but now they all follow Dreamy John." "In shiny suits of silk they stand, Sergeant Pepper's Hearts Club Band. And underneath an old French horn, something's gone from Dreamy John. Well, it's Coke and Yoko on his brain. John missed the turn for Penny Lane, and Paul is left alone with his irreconcilable differences. Yeah, and heaven knows where this long and winding road will come to end. So it goes, sometimes it gets so hard to be the best of friends." "Well, I hate your lyrics, and I hate your keys, and I hate your catchy melodies, and all of your songs, but most of all, how I hate you, Catchy Paul."
Dark and cold, those gates of hell. There's heartbreak at the old hotel. Blackbird sings a mournful song. Rest in peace, oh dreamy John. Yeah, and heaven knows there was still a chance that they would see. So it goes. Sometimes the best of friends had best just let it be. And in the end, this much was true. They took some songs and they made some too. And all the songs we'll sing along with Catchy Paul and Dreamy John. Yeah, now they're here, now they're gone. Catchy Paul. And John.
Jake Armating here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Catchy Paul and Dreamy John from the sixth album called Cosmos in the Chaos. Did you hear a lot of Beatles growing up?
You know, I probably heard an average amount of Beatles. I wouldn't say my parents were, you know, huge fanatics, but you know, it's sort of a rarity to find someone who, you know, actively hates the Beatles. They're pretty hard not to like, and so, you know, they're kind of ubiquitous. They're kind of everywhere. And so having a musical ear, I, you know, probably took 10 seconds to fall under their spell, at least as much as everybody else.
So what was the inspiration for that?
Well, what kind of inspired that, I think, is somewhere my dad wound up with an autobiography of Lennon. And he let me borrow it, and I read it, and it was... I'm still not sure I would recommend it, actually. It's called The Lives of John Lennon, and it comes pretty close to character assassination, because the writer, I think his name's Albert Goldman, it's almost like he goes out of his way to give you the dirt, you know, like every last speck of dirt in Lennon's life. And if Goldman is to believe, and he conducted thousands of interviews, you know, I mean, he was incredibly thorough in his research. If Goldman is to be believed, this guy was just a very, very sad character, although at times also a genius, you know, in his way. But what I found fascinating was, as I generally do, was the relationship. I mean, the relationships in Lennon's life were all pretty interesting, but especially his relationship with McCartney. I mean, these guys could never have created what they did musically without each other. And yet, like most relationships, it had ups and downs, and then it just sort of stayed down, and it was down and out. And they, you know, it got to a point where Lennon, you know, really hated McCartney. And that's me trying to speak as Lennon in the middle of that song. I have really no feeling for Paul McCartney one way or another. I think he's amazing. But Lennon, I think, was racked by jealousy and other kinds of, I mean, just the competitiveness and lots of passive aggression and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I thought would be a fascinating subject for a song, is that, like, these songs have become part of the character, part of the consciousness of our country. And the Beatles aren't even American, you know. It's really a testament to their reach and to their saturation everywhere, and what musical geniuses they were, that they are everywhere. But, like, we all know these songs, but did we all know, you know, quite how much volatility was maybe underneath the surface, and how that bled into some of the songs and all that kind of stuff. And so the songs are so beautiful. And so a theme that I think you find in art is that pain often yields some amazing stuff.
I thought you did a lovely job weaving the titles from the songs into the lyric.
Thanks.
You did a nice job with that. I really enjoyed that.
Thanks. I feel like I was able to take a step forward in my lyric writing with this album.
So are you more of a dreamy John or a catchy Paul?
I think I'm more of a catchy Paul. Or I guess I'd say I have at least started out as a catchy Paul. And I've learned, I think I'm learning, and I'll probably never stop learning, to be even more honest, to be even more open with music and with writing. I mean, it takes an amazing level of courage
and discipline
and discipline, mm-hmm. Yeah, to access the stuff that makes the tears run down other people's face. I mean, like when they hear the catchy song on the radio, they love it, and it's a sugar high, and they turn it up, but it's the deeper stuff that really rocks the core of us, you know, I think. And you need both, you know. It can't be all depth, or there's like no fun in your life, you know.
That's right.
And then if it's all fun, it starts to feel shallow, you know. And so I honestly think that each is equally important, and that's why they were the team of the century, mm-hmm. You know.
You're listening to The Folk Show here on New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and hospice at HCS, providing comfort, care, and support for people with advanced illness in southwestern New Hampshire from offices in Keene, Peterborough, and Charlestown. HCSservices.org. And the Bear Bookshop, supporting Planned Parenthood of Northern New England, providing health care, education, and information to New Hampshire women, men, and teens. PPNNE.org. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Our guest is Jake Armerding. You may recognize the name Armerding. He started out playing when he was just a wee lad. His dad, who was in the band Northern Lights, you know the name Taylor Armerding, set Jake up on a violin. And Jake recorded more albums in high school than many adults record in their lifetimes. So you recorded with Northern Lights, and mm-hmm. then you went on to launch your own solo career. You also recorded for Compass Records.
Mm-hmm.
So this is album number 6 we're talking about tonight. You've got a show coming up over in Newburyport on the 22nd with Dar Williams, a folk show favorite.
The great Dar Williams, yeah.
So, you know, so from being a violin player, not a violin player, but a fiddle player, right, with mm-hmm. Northern Lights mm-hmm. to today. Tell us a little bit about that path that you were. Was it chosen for you, or do you think you chose it?
Well, that's a great question. I think when you're 4 and a half, you don't really choose much of anything except, you know, what TV show you want to watch, that kind of a thing.
Fruit Loops or Cheerios.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Breakfast cereal. And so I think my dad would agree that he got me started on the path. But I remember very clearly that there was a couple years, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years into taking these Suzuki classical lessons for violin, my parents said, okay, you know, if you want to stick with this, then we'll stick with it. But if you hate it, you know, let's quit, because, you know, we don't want to keep buying, we don't want to keep spending the money on lessons if you really are not enjoying yourself. And at that point, I had gotten to a place where I wasn't having the time of my life, you know, but it also wasn't like taking out the trash, you know, it's like I was born with some musical ability, and that was being accessed in these lessons. And so I liked it enough to continue with it. And so that led to everything else. You know, it led to other instruments.
I know. I've seen you in a picture with your mandolin, and you also play the guitar. You're playing the guitar here.
Uh-huh.
Anything else?
That's it, pretty much. I mean, I fake my way on some other instruments. These are the only ones that I would feel comfortable saying I actually can play. But, yeah, I mean, I think every artist is every true artist is an explorer, and I love exploring music, and I felt like it was a wonderful opportunity to get to be in a professional ensemble like Northern Lights, mm-hmm. and to play at that level and to learn from the members of the band, to learn from the shows and kind of get my professional feet wet. And then but when I was done with that, I was kind of done with it. You know, it was kind of like this was a great season, and I want to try something else. You know, I want to keep pushing into new territory.
Do you think your experience with Northern Lights helped you to be able to be collaborative with other folks? I know you did an album with Mark Arelli and some other gentleman called Barnstar.
The Barnstar record, yeah. Well, bluegrass music, which is kind of what I was raised on. I was kind of raised on bluegrass, classical, because I was taking lessons, and, you know, top 40 pop radio from the 80s were kind of my three primary influences. But bluegrass specifically is a fundamentally collaborative idiom, mm-hmm. of music. Like, the whole idea is to play with other people. You don't really find hardly any bluegrass acts that are just one person. I mean, you'll find duos, but the default ensemble is a band, and that's because the interplay and the collaboration and the harmony singing and the give and take with other musicians is sort of at the core of that sound. You know, it's always been a very social music, a very communal type of music, unlike the singer-songwriter genre. And you know, it's not that singer-songwriters don't collaborate, because they do all the time. And Mark is a good example of someone who I think is equally comfortable in sort of his own solo world and teaming up with other musicians. He's amazing at both. I don't know whether it was nature or nurture for me, but I always seek out that collaboration. I must have done hundreds of solo shows. So just shows by myself, and there are certain advantages to that, certain pros and cons. But I always prefer to collaborate with someone. I think that the relationship that can happen on stage, the musical relationship, can create something greater than the sum of its parts. And I think you get something listening to even two musicians play that you can't just get from one. You know, it's almost like parents creating a child, creating another life. There's in that child, there is aspects of the mother and aspects of the father, and then these entirely unique aspects that belong to no one except for that person, that makes that person who it is. And I think musicians on stage are doing the same thing. They're creating musical children, and those performances and those experiences have a life of their own that's really exciting and fascinating and mysterious. So I love that, and I always go for it.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and the Woodstock Inn Station and Brewery, proudly celebrating its 30th anniversary and thanking everyone for their support over the years. Information at WoodstockInnNH.com. And Bernstein Sure, committed to practical, innovative, and entrepreneurial legal solutions for clients in New Hampshire and around the world, in Manchester, and at BernsteinSure.com. Our guest tonight on the Folk Show is Jake Armerding. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about what you can expect if you go see him when he appears with Dar Williams on the 22nd in Newburyport, about the first a tune from Jake Armerding here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I drifted down and I lost my breath, but the blue all around was lovely in death. And my soul rose up and across the sea as my body drowned. I found that I could breathe, and the air up here is clear. I'll be back tomorrow, I ain't going anywhere. But I'll take my time, I ain't even in my right mind. Madness is sweet to the insane, with arms twirling round out in the rain. And I would not presume, I would not suggest, it may be too soon for you in such foolishness. But the air up here is clear. Oh, call them back tomorrow, they ain't going anywhere. We'll take our time, we ain't even in the right mind. Na-na-na-na-na. Take my time, I ain't even in my right mind. And I'll take my time, I ain't even in my right mind.
Jake Armitting, another new tune from the album Cosmos and the Chaos, and My Right Mind, the name of that one, here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Jake has a show coming up on Friday, March 22nd. It's at City Hall Auditorium in Newburyport, supporting the Dar Williams Show. So what can folks expect, Jake? Are you going to be doing a solo performance? Are you bringing somebody along with you?
It's solo. That's generally the way that the support slot functions when you're supporting a solo act. You know, for the sake of volume, they generally ask you to just come alone. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm planning on. Mm-hmm. And I'll have the fiddle along, and probably the mandolin as well.
What else is keeping you busy these days?
Well, I had a CD release show last week, actually, down at Club Bassine. Mm-hmm. And that was rescheduled from the show that was originally in early February, was completely snowed out, mm-hmm, by that, mm-hmm, enormous storm. And let's see.
And it also featured another Armitting. Are there other Armittings that are musicians in your life?
No. There's three of us that I think would call ourselves professional musicians. My brother Jesse is quite a good drummer, percussionist, Jedi rhythmist.
Uh-huh.
Older or younger? He's younger.
Mm-hmm.
My family has three. I have two brothers, two younger brothers. I'm the oldest, and no sisters. It's a three boy family.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse always showed that kind of interest in going down a similar path. And I grab him. I take him along for whatever shows I can, because he always makes it sound better.
Now, is mom a musician as well?
My mom's really not a musician. She's amazing in many other ways.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much on the musical end of things.
What's next for you, Jake? The singer-songwriter place is where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. Writing your own songs. You happy just writing your own songs, or do you see more collaborations in your future?
That's a really interesting question, because I find myself actually starting to do a lot of producing. I've maybe by the time you hit your mid-30s, you've just made enough connections to start getting a call that's not just for violin, but hey, you know, I've listened to your record and I really appreciated you know, where you went with this song. I think you'd be a great match for this artist that I am mm-hmm. friends with, that kind of a thing. And it's weird, you know, I've started to wonder if maybe my calling is even more as a producer than as a more, you know, typical singer-songwriter. And I had to laugh on the way up. I had the thought that, like, just like president, maybe you have to hit age 35 before you're even allowed to call yourself a producer or to apply for the job. Isn't that true with a president? You have to be 35 or something like that? I would hope at least 35. Like, I don't feel like I could be president, that's for sure. So that's what I find myself sort of being drawn into, and I'm happy to go in that direction. You know, I'm happy to go with what is working as long as I feel like there's truth there and there's beauty, whatever it is. I guess what I'm saying is I don't really mind what hat I'm wearing, as long as I like the design and it's warm. You know,
Jake Armading is our guest. Can you play another song for us, Jake?
Of course. Yeah. This is the opening track from Cosmos and the Chaos. And actually, I should mention that's really an adaptation of what I learned was a Leonard Bernstein quote. Leonard Bernstein said that that's what music was. It was cosmos within, you know, the chaos of life, the chaos of everything that's always going on. Music was this oasis of cosmos in that. So seemed like a good fit for these songs. Saturday, the sun is up. Down the bakery, get a cup. Walking down the subway grates, wipe the sugar off my face. I hit the stairs, jumping down. Feel the breeze of the underground. The seven stops are in the way. Till I see your face and say I love you. Oh, I love you. There's lots of trouble on the track. I can't even call you back. Why are you doing this to me? In my mind's eye, I can see you waiting for me at the Met. I'm stuck at Broadway Lafayette. It isn't right, it isn't fair that I am here and you are there when you're my favorite person in this world. And I cherish you. If this world should turn into another one, oh, you'd be my favorite too. Then all at once, you were there. You found me down in Union Square, and all the people pass away as you and I begin the day. Coffee smoke and shafts of sun glancing off your haircut. The crowds all part, the traffic too. Let us fall in love in New York City. Down in New York City. Yeah. When the theater isn't good, when you grin and say you could go for wine at Mademoiselle's, we sneak out like infidels. And later on, the 1, 2, 3, I hold on, you hold me. The train, it starts screaming gears. You put your hands over my ears, and you're my favorite person in this world. And I cherish you. If this world should turn into another one, oh, you'd be my favorite too. Yeah, you'd be my favorite, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, when we rise and when we fall, and when we cannot move at all, when you put your hand in mine and put it in the millionth time, when you're here, when you're gone, and when you let your hair down long, when you put that dress on and when you take it off again, when the doors are open wide, when they're playing west outside, and sun and roses hit your dress, it's a trinity of loveliness. When we all stand as one, when they're playing Mendelssohn, when we're rich, and when we're poor, and when we are forevermore. You're my favorite person in this world. Oh, I cherish you. If this world should turn into another one, oh, you'd be my favorite too.
Jake Armitting here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio with a tune from his sixth recording called Cosmos in the Chaos. And that's the first track on the CD called Favorite Person. Jake has a show coming up on the 22nd with Dar Williams, and it's at the City Hall Auditorium in Newburyport, Massachusetts, presented by Heptunes. Jake, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you thought you might do some producing. What catches your ear? What would you be most happy to produce?
That's a great question. I guess it's going to be something that I feel very confident that I can produce, and yet also something that maybe is going to stretch me in a little bit of a new direction. Not in such a way that I'll find myself, lost. When the buck stops with you, you don't really want anything that's gonna be completely out of the realm of your experience. But at the same time, you want something that feels fresh to you, that you feel like you can sort of jump in on, and you can have that very natural excitement to sort of to get your hands dirty with something new, you know, that sort of feels new. So I guess that's what I look for.
Do you think as a musician, mm-hmm. and an accomplished musician and a songwriter, do you think you'd be more drawn to something that's got an eclectic new musical sound, or do you think you'd be more likely to dive into something that's more lyrically sound?
I think that I would probably lean toward the former, mm-hmm. is my guess. I mean, production, I still feel very much a student of what production is. I feel mm-hmm. like I'm being educated even as I do it, which is so many of the things that we do. We sort of learn as we go. And so, like, there's the aspect of producing that I feel like has to do with me, but a much larger aspect really just has to do with the artist, him or herself. And I think one of a producer's jobs is to recognize what it is about that artist that makes them unique, which is probably also going to be the thing that I find compelling.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The producer needs to identify that thing and to come up with ways to make it almost the centerpiece of what's going on, you know. And artists can be good at so many different things, or of course more than one thing. Mm-hmm. You can have a great vocalist who needs some help lyrically. You can have a very catchy songwriter who can't really sing that well, but they're not a necessarily a bad vocalist. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a case of you would want to track their vocals or double track their vocals, like have a unison part or something like that to make it a little stronger. I don't think that he would hate me if he ever heard me say that Paul Simon, you know, is among the world's best songwriters, but I don't think he's among the world's best singers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a really interesting voice, and it totally works for his material, but I don't think he would win any competitions. And he's found a way to make his voice work for his songs, which kind of blow everyone else's songs out of the water. You know, it works well enough that he sold millions upon millions of records, you know, so it certainly works. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily his strength. And I think that's kind of the way a producer thinks. A producer identifies the strengths and tries to amplify those while, you know, shoring up what might be the lesser aspects of this artist.
Who did that for you?
That's a great question. You know, it's really interesting you asked that, because as I have started to produce other artists, a friend of mine was saying this, and he's allowed to because he's one of my best friends. Of course, anyone's allowed to, but I really took it to heart. He said, like, it could be that maybe I'm not as good at producing myself as someone else might be. You know, like you get in the weeds with these songs, and they're very personal to you, and very, you know, you're very, very much inside them. Do you really have the perspective that a producer needs to be able to say, like, you know, I really think we need like an 8-part horn section right here. Everything else drop out, and all these horns come in. And like, if this is a song that I've kind of nurtured from infancy, and I've never heard a horn section, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sign off on that. And so that's why a producer's great. Like, they bring that fresh perspective in. And so it's kind of a roundabout way to answer your question, but I'm not sure that I've found the right producer for my material. And it could be that I'm holding onto it too tightly. Like, I've always produced my own stuff, but as I learn about producing, I'm starting to wonder if I could use a great producer myself.
Right. This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we've been talking with Jake Armerding. He has a show coming up at City Hall Auditorium on March 22nd in Newburyport with Dar Williams. Jake, thanks so much for stopping by the Folk Show.
It was really a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Love the tracks from the new CD. Can you play another one?
Sure. Here's a fiddle tune that I like to play in my solo show. It's called Whiskey Before Breakfast. Thank you.
great version of Whiskey for Breakfast.
Thank you.
On the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio with Jake Armitage. Thank you so much for stopping by.
It's a pleasure, Kate. Thanks for having me.
And enjoy your show at the City Hall Auditorium on March 22nd in Newburyport. This is NHPR.